Hey guys.
This is fucked. There you go. There's our intro. Just lock that in.
That's it. That's done. Hi, I'm Raquel.
And I'm Ashley.
And together we are Dead Set Dags.
On today's episode, we are going to be exploring a good old mental breakdown.
But first, let's chat about how we met.
Hey guys, I'm Ash. I am so excited for this podcast. We're going to be laughing, crying, raging about all things parenting, relationships, culture, society, anything you can think of. We will probably talk about it and we'll probably have a little whinge along the way.
Love a good whinge. How good's
a whinge? Oh, love a whinge. So I am I'm a full-time mum to my son, Vinny, but I'm also a wife, a drama teacher, I'm a woman trying to make it in a friggin' annoying world at the moment. But I also I have a real passion about positive body image and women's well-being in general, focusing on real talk and, just normalizing shit. Like, let's have a bad day and not be sorry about it.
Absolutely. You sing it, sister. You sing it. Well, guys, I'm Raquel. I am an almost wife. I'm getting married in 6 weeks. We will see how that goes. But anyway, I'm a doggo mum to my gorgeous boy, Rocco. We love him. He's cousin to Vinny. He is my firstborn and he will be always be my firstborn. I am a social worker. I'm currently working in criminal justice at the moment. For me, I have a real passion around well-being, how important it is to do things for yourself. And I also have a passion for justice. I guess for me, in my career, in my life, I really like advocating for the underdog. And God, you guys know I'll have some opinions on that. I have some really firm opinions on women being equal. You guys will hear my fem chats and I will talk and talk and talk about it. Ashley will have to ring me in because we will not have time. But I'm super passionate about bringing women up, make sure that they know that they're entitled to what they are entitled to, I guess. So,
which I love, because you also like real mean with that too. Like, you're a good reminder for me as well.
So Fem Life, I got some t-shirts for us, Fem. I'm going to make Ashley wear them, but I don't know if we'll be selling them, but watch this space. Dead set Fem.
Well, that's amazing. You're making way too many things over there with your little, what's it called?
It's called a cricket, everyone. I'll be talking about the cricket too. So that's my passion at the moment, making arts and crafts. So, yeah. All right. Well, Ash, should we get started about how we met?
Yeah, let's do that.
I think people are super interested on the socials about how we met, and let's go back in time.
I remember it like it was yesterday, and you know what, I feel like we are a bit old. We can say that because how many years ago was it? Like, I was 13, you were 14, so yes. We're going back
14 years.
Yeah, I can't do math, but that sounds about right. Okay, yeah. So let's go back 14 years.
Yes.
And let's just, I'll set the scene for you.
Yes, please.
You know, I'm the drama teacher. I'll give you some theatrics. So it was rainy day. Actually, no, I don't know if it was a rainy day. I don't remember the weather.
It was a day after school.
It was a weekday. Did I come? Okay, hang on. No, we need to. Okay. So
How do you remember it? You say how you remember it, and then I'll explain how I remember it, because I'm super interested how you remember it.
Okay. So I remember walking in the double glass doors into a place called Red Rooster.
Woo! And
or as we like to call it, Red Rooter.
Oh.
And I remember like seeing, I was so nervous. This is my first ever job. I was 13. And I remember seeing this really freaking tall chick looking me up and down. And I was like hesitantly like, excuse me, this is my first day. Where do I go? And I just remember her looking at me like she was going to stomp on my face. And no that's all I really remember. And then I remember, like, you know, starting the shift and you actually kind of being nice to me. But how do you remember it?
Well, I remember it very vividly, and it's very similar, but I really remember exactly what was happening. And I don't know why. It might have been at a point in my life. Like, we've been friends since then. We've been best friends since then. So it's a pretty big moment in our lives. But I literally remember, I don't remember you walking in, but I remember coming into my shift. So I was 14. I'd been at Red Rooster for about a year and a bit, or maybe almost 2 years. I had a job there when I was 12. I turned 13 a week later. Yeah.
Bless
you, Mark, for giving me a job. Shout out to Mark.
Don't shout out to Mark.
So 12-year-old me, well, 14-year-old me at this time. I remember walking, you know, the back out to the crew room, going into the crew room, and I remember walking past, and I'm like, oh, new girl, hey? At this time, I thought I was pretty fucking special because I was crew trainer, you know. I was in charge of training.
Oh, and you told everyone. You had a badge.
I did.
Didn't you have a badge?
I had a badge that said crew trainer. Yeah. And I thought I was pretty special. So anyway, I go out the back to the boys and Vol, the two boys, I won't name them. They probably won't like me naming them out there. They were checking you out. They were like, who's the new girl? She's really hot. And I was like, looks like a bitch. Don't know her. Looks like a bitch. And I was like, okay, how's this going to go? And then I remember you just starting, and I remember being like, what's, you know, the head nod when you said, what school you go to? You know, what school?
And yeah.
And then you were like, regional. And then I was like, oh, she's a private school kid.
Which, if you don't know, that's a Catholic. That was a Catholic school in our town. So, you know, she straight away, as soon as I said what school I went to, she was judging hard.
I was judging so hard. I was like, my public school life is not going to live up to this girl. And look, 14 years later, here we are. So I remember just having the time of my life that shift. I remember I wanted to make you do all the shit things, like take the bins out, mop the floors before you go, fill the drink. Scrub the urinals, put the urinal cake in.
You just said urinals.
Urinal. I can speak sometimes. But I just remember we just talked the whole time, and then you left at like 8 and I was like, fuck, I've got to do the clothes. Like, so I actually had to do the shit job. So that was a turning point in my life anyway. So that's how we met.
Yeah. Favorite memory of just the, you know, we grew up together. What's your favorite memory? And I swear to God, if you steal mine, I'm going to be pissed. But what's your favorite memory?
Ooh. I have like a bulk favorite. I'm going to steal two. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
My favorite memory.
That's typical Raquel. I'm not really surprised.
Typical memories for me is our sleepovers for sure. So when you'd come to my house before a team meeting and we'd just have a sleepover and we'd eat shit and we'd watch movies, that's probably my bulk favorite memories. But I don't know if you remember this but you might, but when we decided we would go computer chair racing, that was probably one of my favorite memories. Mum's on the scotch, we're out the front in the rain, just computer chair racing down the street. And it's not like we were 10. I'm pretty sure we were like 15.
And I feel like we need to we need to clarify that we weren't drunk. Like, this was just us. We were like, do you want to race down the road on our computer chairs? Yeah, let's go. That sounds like a great idea.
So down the cul-de-sac of the Denhurst place. So they're probably my favorite memories.
Well, my memory, I feel like it's not a good memory for me, but it's the one that I tell everyone about, because it was like one of the stupidest things I've ever done. I feel like you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Okay. So picture this. We're walking from Raquel's house into the town where we're going to go to the movies and see 17 again. So Zac Efron, he was our just major crush, absolutely in love with him. We'll talk about him later.
He's still an idol.
He is an icon. And so, you know, we're going into town and it's pissing down rain and I've got my hoodie on. And so I see there's a gap between the shelter and the next shelter we've got to get to. So I put my hoodie down and I sprint, right? Raquel's in front of me. I'm sprinting in the rain. And next thing I know, I'm knocked out cold on the concrete with blood all over my face because I have ran directly into the bottom of the signs at the petrol station with the prices. I have clanked my face into the bottom of that petrol sign and next to a traffic, like set of traffic lights with so many cars, and knocked myself out and cut my face open on the way to see Zac Efron. And we had to go home and... it's the thing I talk about the most because I just think we were so set on getting there. We were so excited. And then we ended up in your lounge room with you squeezing my, like the cut in my face together, putting band-aids on it, being like, it's fine, don't worry, it's fine. We'll see Zach another day.
Oh my God. That's funny. I remember your mum. I thought your mum would come and pick you and take you home. But I remember
she needs to come and take you to the hospital. Yes.
But she came to the door, bless you, Mama Megan. And she was like, you right? You right. All right, girls, have a good night. And I was like.
And she just left. She was like, you just right? She and you're like break. Yelling, you were yelling out the door, I think she needs stitches. And still to this day, I've got this massive scar on my face and I think, would that be there if I got stitches?
Oh, God. All right. So, well, like, yeah, so that kind of is a basis of our friendship. We kind of haven't changed from there, I feel. Like, I feel like we've gotten older and we've started our careers, starting families. You found our men, God help them.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Fuck. But I feel pretty blessed to have grown up with someone like Ashley. And we have never really grown apart. Like, you know, when you grow apart from those kind of friends, like, you know, when we're at Red Rooster, we thought we'd be friends forever with everyone, friends forever, Red Rooster for life. And it's just like, where the fuck are they now? And
no idea.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Still in the gutter in Port Macquarie, probably. Sorry. Not sorry.
You've just lost a few potential.
Oh, they'll be right. They know what I'm like.
Oh my God. So funny.
I think that's a credit to us. And we both moved away from uni similar times. And here we are today. So I'm really proud of that friendship. And I hope
let's take a moment to be proud of each other. Good job. Congratulations on being my friend for this.
Yeah,
long.
You too. Like, you too. And I feel like, why do you think we've stayed friends for so long? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm picky with friends. I don't like to make a whole lot of effort. I know that sounds bad, but I really don't. I'd like the friends that are the easy friends. They're easy. You can chat to them when you need to, but there's no guilt if you haven't spoken for a little while. It's just easy. Not that I think that I'm lazy. I'm just super busy. I'm super, you know, I'm very passionate and I'm very driven in my life. And so I like the friends that I can just pull up when either I need or they need. And I feel like that's what we do really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100%, 100%, excuse me.
We'll cut that bit,
100% agree. Very similar. And I also feel like that time in our life where we did get a job at Red Rooster, like that was pretty crucial in where we were going to go. Like we are very different people, but we are so similar in our views and our beliefs and our values. And I think that's one of the reasons why this podcast, I think is going to thrive, put it out there, is because we do have those same values and we do have those same opinions, but we're very different. You know, I am very, very loud and obnoxious, where I feel like you're very, well, this is what I feel. I feel like you're very cute and you're very considerate, where I'm just like a big, like, sledgehammer. I'm like, I'm here. That's how I
am pulling faces right now because I'm like, cute. That's how you're labeling.
You're just so little and compacted, and that's why we love you. Where I'm just like, hello, I'm here. Like,
oh my God. Oh, that's so funny. I've never been explained like that before. Cute and compact.
Easy to travel with.
Oh my God. That's too good.
All right.
Yeah, I forgot where we were going with that one.
Yeah.
I'm just too busy laughing.
Fuck. All right. So, look, me, favorite qualities about each other. Me, I'll go first with you. My
don't be sappy though. Are you gonna get sappy?
No, I'm not gonna get all loving. Okay.
I feel like people will get bored and just be like, stop loving on each other so much.
No.
But also get used to it.
But also tell me what I'm like. probably my favorite quality of you, Ash, is that you are you and you don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. And I feel like you've always been like that. You've always had a drive where you're gonna do you and it's gonna benefit you. And not in a selfish way, but in a way that, you know, you're going to do what's right for you and you don't have to apologize for that. I really admire that of you because I feel like I need to do a little bit more of that because I feel like I do things for other people when I don't want to. And I feel like with you, you're just like, I'm doing this because that's what I'm doing. Bye.
Bye.
And well,
I'm going to ask a super random question and throw you off because I think this will be a fun thing to do. If I was an animal, what animal would I be?
I love this. If you were an animal, what animal would you be? I don't know. I feel like I have to think on
Come
that.
Come on, it's you no. Can't... It's got to be the quickest thing that comes to your head.
I don't know.
Can I say yours?
Yes, you can.
And you not be offended?
No, tell me.
You know, like freaking rhinos, how they charge.
Yes, that's me. That's definitely me. Oh, yes, that's me.
Because my quality was going to be that, like, you're just so strong, but you're also very loyal and you look after people. So I imagine you as a rhino, like, you running people down, like, protecting people that you love. So you're a pretty rhino.
Yeah, thank you. I better be a rhino with rhinestones. That's what I'd be.
Bedazzled.
Oh, I love a bedazzle. Your animal. I don't know.
You're overthinking this.
I know I am. I overthink things all the time. You'll hear about that. I overthink everything.
All right. We'll come back to it.
You tell me later. All right. It'll come in when we're in the middle of conversation. I'll be like, ah!
Can we just take a moment to talk about mental breakdowns? Like, I feel like
this dead be a set. Good
thing. Like, dead set, I cannot. I feel like this is going to be a relatable topic. I want to know, Raquel.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel like I already know what yours is going to be because I told my husband this morning about your recent meltdown and he was like, what the fuck's wrong with her?
Look, I love that this is our first topic because I'm currently experiencing the aftermath of mental breakdown. So I'm in the hangover phase of the mental breakdown. Okay.
Would you like to tell us a story of what has recently happened to you?
Guys, I am, and Ash, we just had a little bit of intro about us and what our personalities are like. Like, you would know that, like, I'm pretty level-headed. Like, things don't get to me a lot. I can let things slide. Like, big things, I'm like, move on with life. I'm ready. Like, things don't get to me often. And I feel like, you know, being a social worker, I've had to learn to be pretty emotionally intelligent. So, like, when people are breakdown crying in front of me, I can't be a sobbing mess. be really empathetic.
I do not have that skill. I'm very jealous of you having that skill.
Yes, it's taken a while because, as you would know, growing up, I'm a crier. I'm a crier.
That's why I'm so proud of you for developing that. I'm like, how do I do that?
I'll teach you.
Thank you.
So this just really caught me off guard. So anyway, so guys, as you would have been aware in the intro, I'm getting married in 6 weeks. I was actually supposed to be married today, actually. We had to postpone. So happy.
Was it today?
It was today. So can't think of a better way than starting off our podcast career on my original wedding day.
That's so fucked.
Yeah, it is fucked. But anyway, it's all good. It'll be soon. We'll get there.
Thank you, COVID.
Thank you. Anyway, so all of this year I've been trying to, you're doing a wedding day, you want to look good. So I've been trying to hit the gym, do whatever. I've always been a gym goer. I've always looked after myself. But this year I'm like, no, I've got to be really strict. And I was doing it really slow. So over 12 months, I lost like 8 kilos before the last lockdown. So I was really happy with that. And that sounds like a lot, guys, but I'm a giant. I'm 6 foot tall. I can put on weight really quickly and people not see that I'm carrying a bit of weight. So 8 kilos sounds like a lot, but it's not a lot for me. And I did that in the space of about like 10 months. So I did it really slow. So I was really proud of myself. And then the last lockdown hit. And I thought, nah, I am still going to eat well, but I'm not going to restrict myself. I'm in an emotional breakdown because I thought my wedding wasn't going to happen. So anyway, the lockdown was what? Oh, for you, Ash, it was a long time. Yours
17
long time.
Weeks. Mm.
Mine was about 12 here in the old Newcastle. And I went back to the gym and I got on the scales and I had put on 6 kilos. Mm. Not the finest moment in my life. And I was really disheartened because I'd worked so hard to lose it and then my wedding was being postponed for the following 7 weeks. So I was like, okay, it's all right. I've got 7 weeks. I will just eat well. If I'm not going to lose those 6 again, but at least I'll lose a few. So I was really good for 2 weeks. I was counting my calories. I was eating 1,000 calories a day with one cheat meal a day. It was so low. And then I got on the scales and I was 500 grams heavier.
So, I don't own scales, so I don't have that issue.
They got to be chucked in the bin. So anyway, I lost my shit. So when I say I lost my shit, I started sobbing. It was like somebody had died. I got on the phone to my doctor. I got to the admin assistant and I was like, and she was like, whoa, what's wrong? I was like, it's Raquel. Can I see my doctor? And she was like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? I'm like, I just need to see my doctor. Like, something's wrong with me. And she was like, okay, Raquel, I'm really sorry, but your doctor actually doesn't work here anymore. I'm like,
oh, that does not help this situation.
She's left me. Like, so I moved to Newcastle when I was 20, guys, and that's the only doctor I've ever seen since my doctor from Port Macquarie. So,
oh my god, you're a commitment person
I
too
am
with your
committed.
People.
And I was like, I was crying, and I was like, can I see someone else? And she's like, we don't have any appointments till Monday. This is a Thursday. And she's like, Raquel, I just want to ask you. Do you still live at this current address? And I was like, yes, but if you call an ambulance, I'm not doing it. And I hung up on her because I'm a social worker.
I feel like you should add that at this point, you have not stopped crying. You have built yourself into a fit of, and sorry, did you tell her why you were crying?
Not yet.
Okay.
So they're thinking worst case. And I know from hindsight, like if I had one of my clients ring me in a distressing mess, I would be doing like suicide intervention. Absolutely. So that's what I knew she was doing. But I was so irrational that I was like, what the fuck is this bitch doing? Like, anyway, so I'm on the phone to other doctors trying to get an appointment for that day, thinking that I, like, there's something wrong with me. There's a growth inside me that's 8 kilos. Like, that's going to help me. Like, I'm thinking all this irrational shit. So that doctor surgery keeps calling me back. I then pick up the phone back to them and I was like, I am not going to kill myself. I did not have thoughts of self-harm. And if you call an ambulance, I'm going to leave. I am the young people I work with. And I hung up the phone. And I, as you know, Ash, like, I don't talk to people like that. Even when I'm getting abuse flying at me, like, I am very respectful. And I did was like, and I found a doctor's appointment. They could get me in half an hour. I like trunched to that new doctor's appointment. In that time, I started getting those feelings of like regret. And I was like, why did I talk to them like that? And I, but I'm still crying. I'm still crying. Anyway, go to the new doctor surgery. He was lovely. Bless his heart. He was very attentive to me. He was telling me everything's going to be okay. We'll do some tests. And he was very, very kind to me. So thank you, doctor. But yeah, so that was my mental breakdown. I then, that afternoon, it took me till 4 p.m. to call the original doctor surgery back and apologize. And I'm really sorry for how I was acting. And she was like, it's okay. Is everything okay? I'm like, yes, everything's fine. Because I didn't want to tell her that I was a fucking psychopath because I had put on 6 kilos. And I just think to myself, Ashley, could you imagine if they called an ambulance and they fucking sectioned me to the hospital and the psychiatrists are like, why is she in? She's put on 6 kilos. Like, what the fuck? But you know what? At that time, that mattered to me. Like,
oh, doll.
We can laugh about it now and like, and I can talk about it in a lighthearted way because that mattered to me, like, yeah, at that time. But yeah, so guys, like, y'all aren't crazy.
Like, well, when you first told me this story, I was like, you are a nutcase. Like, you know, because let's people might be listening now thinking that. So let me give you my side, because sure. I went, obviously, you know, I don't own scales because, I mean, since having a child, I think I've put on like 20 kilos, but sure. I try not to, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it because, like, I'm fine. I've got to this point. I've found some really beautiful people on Instagram, like businesses, self-care businesses that have really helped me. Like, I am a completely new person. And so I listen to that and go, yeah.
Yeah.
But then when I was preparing for my wedding, I was putting on weight and not caring.
Yeah.
We were eloping and I had a beautiful, very giving dress. I was very different. I was like, yeah, oh well. And on my wedding day, I got my period. So I was so bloated. But anyway, that's a different story. But you know, I couldn't put myself in your shoes. But the more I think about it, the more I know that, you know, your particular dress and how hard you've worked. You have been killing yourself for so long.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that I need to say that because I don't want anyone to listen to this and judge your mental breakdown, because we shouldn't judge each other's mental breakdowns. Absolutely. Like, we obviously are set off by something because it's really important to us.
Sure.
And
I think as well, like, and like setting the context as well, why sharing this, like, I don't want to share this and have someone listen and be like, oh my God, I've done that too. And I need to lose weight, because I don't hate the way I look. That's not why I want to do it. I've always been really fit and healthy. Like, I've always played real competitive netball at a really high level. I've always done the gym. I've always been fit. And I think these lockdowns have really fucked that up. Like, I'm not as fit as I used to be. So carrying that extra weight maybe wouldn't have affected me as much because I know my fitness was down too. And that's super important to me, to be fit and healthy. And also that you're right. Like, everyone's mental breakdowns are super different. And I really love, like, I've always been that person too. Like, even when we were younger, like, I always knew, like, as I said, I'm 6 foot tall. I've always been bigger. And I really didn't care about that growing up. Like, I was just like, I am who I am. This is what I'm doing. I've always been like that. But I think it's for the health and the yeah, the lack of fitness that I lost in those lockdowns. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, I just feel like that's important to talk about as well.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't have fitness.
Yeah.
But if I did, I might understand what losing it would feel like.
So, yeah. So, like, and I think we will get on these body image issues because I think me and Ash are really on the same page. And I love that you're like that. I love that. That just goes back to you're just doing it for you. Like we were talking about in the beginning, like you are who you are and that's who you are. Where me, I probably do have, I'd like to say that I don't give a fuck about anything because I don't. I don't care what people think, but I think deep down I do. I do have that little bit of image issues, but more so I am who I am too and I don't care. But on that front, I need a little bit of work with. So maybe you can help me with that and I can help you be like a bit more emotionally intelligent. Look at that.
This is just going to be like a therapy session. Like everybody get ready. Cancel your therapist. We're here.
And look, I charge people $150 a session. So, you know, whatever.
Oh my God.
So, Ashley, what is your mental breakdown story?
Well, I can't say I've ever had someone almost call an ambulance on me for a mental breakdown, but I did ask Glenn this question. So my husband, Glenn, if anyone knows us, he is, you know, polar opposite to me. We are the yin to each other's yang. Anyway, so.
But we love him.
Sometimes. But we said to him.
Sometimes.
I said to him this morning, okay, what do you think my biggest mental breakdown was? Because I was really interested to hear what he had to say. And he looked at me dead in the eyes and was like, how am I meant to pick one?
Glenn, shut up.
So then I said, well, to me, when I was pregnant, I have a lot of memories of mental breakdowns. I really struggled when I was pregnant. I was not the person that was like, I mean, I was very blessed to be pregnant, but I was not the person that was, you know, glowing and loving it. I was the person that was going, fuck this shit.
And fair. So, like, you were growing a person. Like,
it's hard. That's hard. If you've grown a person, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you.
Because, and I said to him, do you remember my pregnant breakdowns? And he said, I've written his quote down because it made me laugh that much. I'm going to read it to you. I've chosen to block that period of time from my memory.
Okay, Glenn, dramatic a bit.
So, you know, I would have mental breakdowns where I would be laying on the floor of the shower with the shower on, just crying. Sometimes I'd be clothed. Sometimes I wouldn't. Like the shower is where I would go to just cry. And like sometimes it was over, you know, my changing body. So it was my growing stomach or my stretch marks. Or sometimes it was because Glenn looked at me funny and I was like, you don't love me anymore. When you are pregnant, your hormones are through the roof. So there's just so many memories for me, just all the small things. And I just wish, and hopefully, you know, when I'm pregnant again one day, I'll be able to take that experience with me. But I hope if there's anyone pregnant here listening and it's your first pregnancy, it is okay to have a breakdown a day. A breakdown a day keeps the therapist away.
Or if you listen to our podcast, then it keeps us in the job.
Yeah, no, really. I just feel like I just wanted to talk about that. I just wanted to talk about if you're a mum or if you are planning to be a mum one day, just know that it's completely fine to, just normalizing having a cry. And I still to this day, if I need a mental refresher, I'll just have a cry and I'll feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's super important, you know, in my work that I do with clients around well-being, it's super important. And I think, you know, especially as women, we have this kind of connotation that we're really emotional and we cry at a drop of a hat. And I hate when people say that. And then I also get resented at myself. It's like, well, actually, yeah, I am a woman and I do have emotions and I can cry and not be judged about like, oh, she's on her period. No, motherfucker, it's not because I'm on my period. It's because I'm upset. And yeah. I feel like for so long, I feel like we as women I've had to be like, no, I'm fine. Or we'd be labeled a psychopath, crazy. I like all those words under the sun. And I just don't think it's fair. So I think it's really important to be, it's okay to do that. Look, it's probably not okay for my story to have the ambulance called on you, but like, you know, I'm dealing with that, Goss. Like, I'm dealing with it. But
it's a process.
But that for me was a turning, like that was a build-up for me. So I knew like that wasn't the only reason why I had a mental breakdown. Like I know there are things going on in my life where I'm like, I had to check that. And it's super important to check it. Like, and if you can't, like, I obviously missed those signs when I look back, like after my mental breakdown, almost tripped to the hospital, I looked back and I was like, there were signs.
Like, that's so good though, that you were able to like reflect on that and how you got there. I like that though.
And Gary was like, yeah, there were signs. I was like, why didn't you tell me? You would have killed me. He said, correct. So like, and guys, it's science. It's like a Coke bottle. If you put one Mentos in, it's not going to explode yet. If you put two in, it might explode, touch and go. You put three in, it's going to explode. Like it's all of those layers that we really need to stop and check ourselves. And I think that can be done. The things that we like to do for ourselves. And I know you're super passionate about that, Ash, too, like doing self-care for you. And
yeah, and it's something that I realized last night. I had a mental breakdown last night. If you've you follow me on Instagram, see I did have a bit of a mental breakdown last night. I screamed at Glenn, like actually just stood in the middle of a room going, and then I got in my car, drove to the Bottle-O and bought 9 alcoholic beverages and then made a reel about it. Like I needed that. I actually just needed to have that fall apart. I came home, I walked in the door, we both said sorry to each other and gave each other a hug, and it was like I just needed that.
And I think it's around admitting and like noticing your weaknesses. Like we don't always have to be strong, and really, like you said, like reflecting on that's super important. Learning reflective practice has probably changed my life. Like I would be a wreck if I couldn't reflect. And I don't think
a wreck if I couldn't reflect. Oh, I'm gonna make with a rap.
Yeah, we'll make a reel.
I will. I will. Let me write that down. What did you say?
I can't remember now.
We'll listen back to it.
Oh, listen back. Always being recorded. We're not just having a chat. So, and I think maybe let's put up on our socials, Ash, after we air this episode, around like, is it hard to take care of yourself, especially being a mum? Like I'm not a mum yet, and I know how hard it is for me just to try and run the household, go to work, see my friends, see my family, get around. Like that's hard enough now. Like I can't imagine what it's like when we start having children. So like, what do you do for you? And is it hard? Like, I think we post that on the socials, see what people think, because I think it's
super important. I'd love to hear from both sides, because you're saying, you know, I'm really busy and I'm really stretched, and yeah, you are. And so was I before I had a baby, but then you have a baby and it's like, you just learn to adapt to a new life, but you've also got to learn to adapt from picking those moments to take care of yourself as well. So I feel like regardless of having children or not, it's like a human being thing that you need to make time for yourself and learn how to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, that's an interesting topic. I'd love to hear people's takes on that, or what they combat that with, or how long it's been since they've had self-care. Like I know there would be mums that would say it's been 8 months since I've had a half a day to myself. Yeah. And I'd love to hear from them as well.
I wonder what it would be like too, and when we interact with you guys on the socials around, you know, what do you think self-care is? Because for me, in my experience, when I talk about self-care to clients and friends around, I say like, what do you do for you? And they say nothing. And I was like, you do something. Like labeling it as self-care can actually make us feel better too. Like, is it going to the post office? I know in lockdown you like to go to the post office.
I loved the post office. Me and the post office lady were best mates, and we still are on a first name basis. So I, you know, shout out to her.
Like just going to the post office in lockdown, like self-care. like identifying that you need to go and you go. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know how like you see on Instagram sometimes, and you know, or yes, like about, they're like, oh, I'm doing self-care yoga for me. Like, good for you. If that's self-care for you, great. Like, because cool, like I get it. But like, that's not the only self-care we can do. Like, there's so many other things, and it can be broad. It could be watching the like shit on Netflix. Like, that's self-care. Mm. Like, I think we need to stop
anything that makes you, I think that we just need to maybe define self-care. If you're listening and you think that you don't do self-care, maybe identifying a few things that you do that make you feel good. So you know, I love watching 1 hour of TV by myself in my bedroom before I go to bed. So Glenn's not allowed to come in. He's got to watch TV in the lounge room. Yeah. And my son is in his bed, and I'm just by myself watching TV, scrolling Insta on my phone. And that is my favorite hour of the day.
Yeah, awesome. And for me, my favorite self-care thing to do is to literally go get a coffee. Like, I bought coffee, a barista coffee, like, because I'm bougie.
Fancy.
Dirty chai latte. That's my order. You're like, oh, yuck.
That's your self-care.
tastes good. And going to the lake and walking my dog, because I'm switched off. And I think that's important with self-care too. Self-care is about switching off. If you're not switching off, it's not self-care. It's a hobby. Like, we need to like draw the line between that, because if you're doing hobbies, sometimes that can be stressful. Like, I have a hobby at the moment and it's stressful. Like,
oh my God. We need a whole episode for your hobby. But I will also add, some people say that journaling is self-care for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to me, I can't think of anything worse. So it really is about your own individual interests, because you can't just be like, what do you do for self-care? Oh, I'll try that, because maybe you won't like it. Maybe you'll hate it.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, socials. So we'll put it up on the socials when we air. Well, Ashley, I think we just became podcast hosts.
I think I need a wine.
Well, we might have to cut it there, guys, and then – wow, I'm stoked. But thanks
my
for listening.
Face hurts from smiling. That was fun. Can we do this again?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to.
Okay.
We're kind of committed.
What if people don't like listening to us? Nah, they will. We're funny.
All right, guys. Well, until next week, we hope they don't shut us down. We'll
who's they?
I don't know. Is there like a body? Is there like a podcast body? I don't know.
I don't know. But thanks so much for listening, guys. This was fun. And please let us know on our socials what you liked, what you're looking forward to, and what mental breakdown has almost sent you in it.
Yes. Chat soon. Bye.
Coming up on Dead Set Dag. You know how like some people do unpopular opinion polls on their Insta stories? And one person had put in an unpopular opinion that hens parties are disgusting and should be banned. And I was shook. I screenshot it, put it on my own story, and was like, what the fuck?